good.
As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily, the challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves, so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshaies, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1. And it's 24-7, the world's best radio station.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. Deshaies is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and Passion, Desire, and Contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. Deshaies has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. You will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. Deshaies. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at jamestdeshaies2.com and lulu.com. Feel free to reach out to the author at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com.
If you would be interested in working from home and increase your cash flow, as well as take your lifestyle to a different level, please go to wealthdadsystem.com. That's wealthdadsystem.com. WealthDadSystem.com. WealthDadSystem.com.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know, I'm always excited to be here, to be given the opportunity to talk to you about the issues that impact our lives now and in the future. And today we have someone on that is really going to speak to a subject we have not discussed before. And it's amazing after 3 years that we have not got on this particular topic, but I look so forward to talking about it today. We have with us Ms. Shay Marriott. How are you doing, Ms. Marriott?
Hi, James. I'm good. How are you?
I am doing fine, and I am so happy to have you here. Will you take a little time out to tell everybody about yourself and your background?
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Well, my name is Shay Marriott, and I'm actually living here in Delaware. I am a clinical social worker in private practice. I work with children and families. I'm also a relationship coach. I am also the host of the Rebirth Show here in Delaware. And I do a lot of empowerment for women and just kind of helping people rebuild their life, starting over after a life crisis, whatever that crisis may be.
You know, it's so often we as people of color tend to believe that the way to get through crises is to remain quiet and just allow the pain to go away. But I truly believe that I'm not sure if the pain ever really goes away, because we revisit it in our minds periodically. How do we convince people of color to use your services?
Well, I mean, unfortunately, there's a stigma in our community when it comes down to therapy. You know, we were taught to not talk about things. This stays in the family, you know. We don't go outside of the house telling people our business. But our community is really suffering because you have people that are walking around that is carrying years of hurt and pain because they were told not to share, not to talk about it. So therapy, going to a therapist doesn't mean that you're crazy. So let's kind of get rid of that. It doesn't mean that you're crazy. It just means you have a person there that, you know, for you to listen to, that does not know you or know your situation. and can genuinely offer you an opinion or advice or guidance with no attachment. So it's okay to seek help. It's okay to talk to someone else, because most of the time, there's so many other people that are going through the same thing that you're going through, but you won't know unless you open up and you start to talk.
And I hear you, and I know that you're right. I'm a professional, and I know that you don't go to a dentist when you need mechanical work done to your car. But how do you help men and women who find themselves in awkward situations trying to salvage their marriages? And we realize that more than 50% of marriages are failing. How do we turn the corner in terms of relationships? So we knew these two people at one time loved each other. How do we help them maneuver through these obstacles?
Well, first they have to want the help. That's the first thing. Now, most of the time, if a couple comes into my office, the first thing I will ask them, the first question is, which one of you don't want the marriage? Because most likely there's one of them don't. There's always one that is there to fight, and then there's always one that is like, okay, I'm here because, you know, he or she asked me to come. So the couple have to want to work on it. They have to want to fight for their relationship in order for therapy to even work. If not, they're just pretty much wasting time. So the one thing that is important is to understand that a marriage or a relationship is not in trouble based off of one person. It may have been one person that, you know, act out or had infidelity or whatever the case may be, but the marriage was already in jeopardy prior to the behavior. So it's important to take ownership of what part you play in that. So we all have a role in that. What part did you play in the relationship for the relationship to start to go downhill? And it's very hard for people to do that when there's emotions involved, because the first thing we want to do is we want to blame each other. And that's where we get stuck. So most of the time when we're stuck in the phase where we're blaming each other and we're angry and we're hurt, we get stuck there and we can't salvage the relationship. And then that's when the divorce tends to come in play. But if we actually reflect and sit there and say, okay, you know what, maybe I wasn't the best, you know, maybe I wasn't good at communicating with you. Maybe I wasn't good at, you know, coming to you when I felt like I wasn't being validated, instead of seeking validation outside of the home. Communication is a big, big problem in relationships, and transparency is as well. So I think once we begin to own our own stuff.
How much of the emotional issues that adults have is created in the way that they were treated by their parents or the way they were involved with their parents? You know, I knew that my parents loved me regardless of the way they punished me. But when I look back, I don't remember. My dad was just a strong man, and he never kissed me. He never held my hand. I don't remember any of those lovely touches by him, but I knew he was my father, and he loved me. You know, I mean, he was happy when I performed well, but he wasn't a touchy-feely man.
Right, and I'm actually glad that you bring that up, because I would actually say probably like 90% comes from that, especially in black men, because our black men are raised to not show emotion. So when it's time for them to try to, you know, communicate to their significant other as to what's going on, it's hard for them to do that. It's hard for them to show emotion. It's hard for them to express what they're feeling, because they're taught not to be vulnerable. So a lot of the things that we were raised, you know, that our parents taught us, we do bring into our relationship. A lot of things that we do see, we do act them out in our relationship. And we tend to repeat the same behavior which, again, we all heard of the generational curse. So what you see your mother or father do, you tend to do the same in your relationship. At some point, we have to stop it because now our children are going to live out the same behavior in their relationship. So a lot does
and
come from how we were raised.
And so that adage about, you know, stay for the sake of the children, do you think that's an effective way to raise kids is to have both parents there irregardless of their love for one another?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I think that when we try to keep marriages together for the children, we're not showing them what a healthy relationship and marriage looks like. We're just basically showing them what it's like to be cellmates, pretty much, you know? So I think children would thrive more if they seen their parents, not together, but in separate, healthy and loving relationships with other people instead of being together and there's turmoil and there's you know, there's arguing and there's all because they don't want to break up the family because of the children. So I don't necessarily feel that because you have children is a reason to keep a marriage together. And I don't see that professionally, and I've gone through a divorce. And at one point, yeah, I have children, and at one point I felt, you know what, we got to keep our family together because of the kids. But my ex and I, we saw the effect that it was having on our children. And at some point you just got to say, hey, you know what, this is not about us anymore. This is about our children. What's best for our kids?
Let me ask you, in this world where we're dealing with these stereotypes of African-American women and the fact that they are supposed to be strong and somehow that is not characterized as positive. And I think the other way. But is it possible for a woman to be strong and be submissive in a relationship so that her husband can feel like he is the head of the family?
Absolutely. 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 I mean, I feel that, you know, and again, it depends on what everybody's definition of strong is. You know, some people may look at the word strong and say, oh, well, you know, the woman is, and you know, she's very independent. She doesn't want anybody to help her or she's, you know, controlling. But it depends on what the definition of strong is. You can be submissive to your marriage as well as have an awesome career, be a mother. We can do it all. We can do it all. So, unfortunately, people get intimidated by that, you know. So, and when they see us doing it all, then now we're called, you know, certain names. But yes, absolutely. You can do it all. We can do it all. And I'm definitely an example of that.
Well, you know, I you know, a lot of times I hear about these stereotypes that depict black women in a negative light when they suggest that they are strong and that men are intimidated by them. And maybe my former football player, I find it difficult to be intimidated by anybody. But it seems to me that I always wanted, my desire is if I falter or stumble, I need somebody behind me who can kind of prop me up until I get my legs back under me. I definitely don't need somebody who's going to let me fall to the ground. And so that I find a positive to have a strong African-American woman behind me to assist me when I need that hand. But it doesn't change the fact that I'm still a man and that I'm not trading in my trousers. So I don't know why people, I hear so much of that in the media and about men being castrated and in our society.
You know, James, I think that, first of all, being strong, excuse me, I mean, you still have to have respect. You know, you can be strong, you can, you know, have a career, you can do all of these things, but you still have to respect your mate for what he brings to the table as well. So if the respect is missing, then okay, yeah, there's a problem. But from a man's perspective, like you said, I mean, it's a blessing to have someone that is strong to be able to, you know, hold you up, especially in today's world where, you know, black men are constantly getting knocked down, constantly struggling, you know, 10 times, you know, more than other men in, you know, other races. So to be able to have someone strong that, you know, that is there that supports you is important. But the problem is sometimes the issue is not lying with the woman, it's lying with the man. What is going on with you that you cannot allow this woman to be there for you, to support you? Why are you feeling intimidated by the power that she may have? So, you know, does that come from childhood? Does that come from the upbringing? Possibly.
Well, I think we all have to overcome stereotypes and recognize the quality and value that our mates bring to the table and recognize that we need to have, you know, I enjoy romanticize over the thought of having a queen, someone that you work real hard to keep protected and you put them on a pedestal. And that
yes.
This queen makes you a better man because she makes you stronger because she inspires you to greatness. You don't want her to climb down so she has to get her hands as dirty as you getting yours. But, you know, I always thought of the woman as someone who I wanted her to want a career but not have to have one, that when push come to shove that I could take care of my family. But I don't want someone who's being competitive and competing with me for the position I thought I had because of my gender.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. No, I mean, I get that. I understand that. And I think that, again, well, I think it's important to talk about these things before we even get married. You know, what are the expectations? You know, what are you expecting me to bring to this marriage as your wife? And what are you expecting me to bring to this marriage as your husband? Because, again, if we're not having these conversations, then my expectations may not be what you are expecting of yourself. So when you don't come through and I'm all upset and bothered, then who am I the only person I could be mad at is myself. Because I'm expecting something that you haven't even placed on yourself. So my point is we go into marriages with expectations of each other and we haven't even had the conversation. So we need to talk. If you are looking to have certain things done and I expect certain things from you as a man, then we need to talk about that before we go down the aisle and say, I do. But these are the conversations that we're not having. And then when the problems come up in our marriages, it's like, you know, it starts out real small and then it starts to spread. And before you know it, we have all these issues. And then now we're in divorce court.
All right. We're going to take a short break and come back. And we have a full table today in terms of callers. And so and allow them the opportunity to get involved. So
all right.
Will you please give them, if they wish to reach out to you, will you please give them your contact information before we go to break?
Sure, yes. My name is Shay Marriott, and I am the owner and operator of The Reapers. You can follow me at Rebirth U on Facebook. You can go to my website at rebirthu.com, or you can follow me on Instagram at rebirth_radio.
All right, we're going to go to break, and we'll be right back. Just a thought, James T. Deshaies. The significance of our lives is found in the level of commitment we have to greatness. Our Creator has planted the only seeds we need to rise above the level of mediocrity. The world needs all of us to rise above the norm. The enemy of humanity is in the wasted greatness that resides in those that refuse to care and fertilize their personal seeds of greatness. No solutions in life's problems can be obtained without individuals being willing to bring their seeds of greatness to reality. There are too many dreams being left in the graves of the disenchanted. The joy and peace of the world should not be put at risk by our reluctance to work toward our legacies. Our families and communities need the value of all the treasures that exist within us. No blessing should remain unnurtured. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. This show is here for your voice to be heard loud and clear.
It is important that we do what is needed to make sure that people know what our opinions are, and this is the platform to make that possible. Please call in at 657-383-0309. Also, please visit my website at jamestdeshay2.com. That's jamesddeshay, the number 2.com.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Kathy, are we going to hear from you today? I'm going to you first, Kathy, because I want you to have a opportunity to engage us today.
Wow, really, James? Oh, wow. Well, welcome to the Thoughts, Love, and Reflections. I forgot the young lady's name, but I totally agree with everything that she said concerning the marriage, concerning relationships, concerning the generational curse. Just everything was right on point. I agree 100%. So I don't have any comment, but just I am agreeing with everything that she says. And congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much. I
all
really
right. Thank
that.
You. Thank you. Just to let you know, Ms. Marriott, Kathy is one of our founding individuals. She's a part of the Fantastic Four, so I rib her a little bit, but she's from the East Coast, and she gives us the stability that we need here on Thoughts, Love, and Reflection.
Okay. All right.
Dee, I'm coming to you next. What are your thoughts or comments? Do you have any questions?
Yes, I do have a question. And hello, everybody. And unfortunately, I won't be as modest as Miss Kathy. It seems as though I always have something to say. First of all, I want to thank you, James, for stepping up to the plate again to bring such a great subject matter to the forefront in your efforts to try to right the ship pertaining to our culture, and I really appreciate you for that. I heard you all speaking about how couples should have put forth a strong effort to have conversation with one another. And the question I have for the counselor there is that in your profession and in your journey towards your profession, have you found that today's generation lack the attribute of having of knowing how to have a conversation? And secondly, I found that they choose to conversate by way of social media, via texting, as to having actual eye-to-eye contact conversation. And so my question to you is that to be accepted as one of the same? Thank you.
You are so right. You are absolutely on point. That is a big problem. That is a huge problem. I've actually had people come in and had a full argument via text. And they could be in the same room. So, unfortunately, yes, we are living in a generation where social media is huge. And social media is playing a big part, and it's a big problem in our relationship. Yes, people do not know how to converse anymore. They really don't. And that is why it's so important to be able to seek out help and get therapy, you know, where you can sit down and learn these skills, learn the tools to be able to, you know, express your feelings and actually listen. So most of the time, if someone is, you know, talking, if you're not listening to what I'm saying and hearing me, we're not going anywhere. Or if you're on your phone texting while I'm trying to talk to you, we're not going anywhere. So you're absolutely right. It is a problem. They don't know how to have a conversation. And that's why it is important, like I said, to seek out some type of counseling to be able to get those skills to be able to save our relationship.
All right. Andre, what are your thoughts or comments, or do you have any questions at this point?
Tremendous thirst to all. Unfortunately, I got on a little late, so I'm not familiar what would have been discussed already. But Sister Marriott, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your expertise, not only on today's forum, but throughout your effort, your journey. So thank you for that. I would like to piggyback, I guess, on Brother D's comments. The fact that technology is such a prevalent means of communicating, and surely couples of today don't realize that they're not actually going to a deeper level, if you would, of communicating. They know what they know. This generation was raised up on computers and technology and that type of thing, and the Fantastic Four Plus One are of the older generation, so we have a little bias, if you would, of some of the old-fashioned items. But I know you mentioned counseling, and that's often required before couples are married, but what methods do you see as a means to encourage counseling? Because, you know, a lot of times in certain demographics, counseling is not seen as a positive means. You know, families are so often taught to have taboo, if you would, of outside professional assistance. So what are some of the techniques or methods you encourage people to take this path and utilize expertise as yourself?
That's a great question. Thank you. Well, one of the things, I work for a private practice here in Delaware called the Center for Child Development and Adult Wellness. And the owner of this, which is my mentor, Lisa Savage, one of the things that we do well is we are community-based. We go into the community. We meet the client where they are, you know. So we're in the churches. We're in the schools. We're going to the homes, and we're having empowerment sessions for people to come to get educated as to what's going on. Why can't we keep our families together? What is happening? So I think being involved in the community and just getting out there and letting people know that it's okay to talk to someone, it doesn't – see, people have this stigma thinking that, well, if I go see a therapist then I'm crazy or I have a mental illness or whatever the case may be. But just like you said earlier, James, if we were diagnosed that we had cancer or we have a cold or we have – we'll go to the doctor. But if we have depression or we have anxiety, we won't seek help. And there's really no difference. It's just something that can't be seen. It's internal. So one of the things that we do, like I said, we reach out into the community. We talk to our churches. We talk to our doctor's office. We go where the people are because, unfortunately, yeah, they're not going to come to us directly. But once they see that, you know, we're willing to help and that everybody is kind of dealing with the same stuff, then they're more open to talk. And then when one person comes, they refer another one, they refer another one. I'm so excited that I have so many black men coming into the practice right now that is seeking help. You know, it's just amazing how they're coming in. So I'm very proud of that. But, yeah, it's, you know, we have to get out into the communities and meet the client where they are.
Thank you, and kudos for that effort because it's needed greatly. And that age group, if you were to say, for the young men that you're seeing, the black men that you're seeing that's taking advantage of this service, is that a particular age group?
Yes, I'm actually seeing anywhere from age 30 to, I would say, about 50, early 50s.
So that's pretty good. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for the question.
Cheryl, what are your thoughts or comments or questions you'd like to ask today?
Good afternoon, everybody, and good afternoon. I'm really enjoying the conversation and the information that's going forth. I'd like to ask you a question.
Yes.
With this scenario, suppose, you know, a couple have done all of the counseling before, and they thought that they were, you know, on the same page. And years down the line, the communication is gone from one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And the one who's not doing the communicating does not seem to want any counseling. Where does that leave the other person?
That's a good question. Very good question. Well, the one thing that I would suggest is whatever tools that you've learned as a couple in counseling, just to kind of go back and continue to use that. You know, a lot of times when we do go to counseling, we may be in counseling for a couple weeks, a couple months, and then when things start going well, then we stop. But we should continue to have at least once a month visit just for maintenance, right? So if we're not doing the once a month visit, and the person says, okay, I don't want to go to counseling anymore, I'm pretty much checked out, then the only thing you can do is make sure that you're focusing on yourself, that you're doing the best that you can in that moment, in that relationship, because that's the only thing you have control of. You don't have control of your spouse. So if they decide to check out and say, I don't want this anymore, then, okay, there's nothing you can do about that other than just focus on yourself and rebuild yourself and make sure that you're ready for whatever is next to come. Does that make sense a little bit?
Makes plenty of sense. Plenty of sense.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Ms. Marriott, but at what point, when you're doing your part, at what point do you decide, okay, I have to do what's in my best interest. This is no longer healthy for me. I need to take the steps necessary. If the other person is fine with just coexisting and you, for your part, want more, at what point do you make the decision to just walk away and sever ties?
That will be up to the individual. So you're not going to – a person doesn't know when they had enough until they truly had enough. So you may have someone that says, you know what, you know, we have our friends and our family say, hey, you know, you can do better than this. You need to move on. But that's not our timing. We can only move on when we're actually truly ready to move on. Now, for myself, as I explained earlier, I was married for 16 years, and I went through a period where we separated for a couple of years. But in that time, I still was fighting for my marriage. I still wanted my marriage. But it came to the point where I had to love me more than I loved my husband. I had to understand that I am the only one that is fighting at this time. And although it was very disappointing, it also gave me the opportunity to say, okay, you know what? Now I have to make a choice. I have to make the best decision for myself as well as for my children. There's no more excuses. There's no more, well, I'm trying to keep it together for the kids. No, because the kids are not happy. The kids are upset. The kids are suffering. So I never had a time frame as to when I was going to move on. I just knew that when I knew I gave it all, I did everything that I possibly could to make this work, that I released myself from that situation, and I gave myself permission to now move on. And that with no regrets and no apologies. And that's important because a lot of times we move on, but we're not ready to move on, and then we find ourselves going back, right? So we go back and we revisit. Well, maybe I could have did this, or maybe I should have fought a little bit longer. So don't move on until you are absolutely, completely sure that you're ready to take that step. Otherwise, you will find yourself going back.
All right. Let's go to Mr. Tillis. Mr. Tillis, do you have a comment or a question?
Well, first of all, thank you, Mrs. Marriott, for coming on. You're giving some really good answers. We have so many problems in our society. I was just thinking about the first time I got married. I was 21 years old. I didn't know what I was doing. And as you say, when you get to the point where you just get tired of it, you just can't deal with it. But what separates you? I see you. You mentioned clinical social worker.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the psychologist. You have a psychiatrist. So what separates you from them? And also, what made you go into that field? And what are you trying to accomplish? Go on. I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay. Start with what brought me into the field.
I wasn't giving you time to answer. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. I will start with what brought me into the field. What brought me into the field, I was actually in corporate America for many, many years, and I kept asking myself, God, what is my purpose? Like, I wasn't fulfilled. And I happened to be mentoring a young lady that was being sexually abused by her mother. I was her mentor. And I did this voluntarily. I mean, I wasn't with a company or anything like that. It was just a young lady that I was mentoring. And it just pulled me in. It draws me in. And at that moment, I realized that, you know what? I want to be a change agent. I want to help people. My purpose is to be able to help others. And I feel fulfilled when I'm doing that. So I absolutely love what I do, and I truly believe that it's important to be in this field. You should have that. You should have that because people can sense that. When you're working with people, they can tell if you're really there for them or if you're fake and you're just doing your job. So I absolutely love what I do. Once I met this young lady and we started working together, I said, okay, you know what? I'm going back to school. At that point, I got my undergrad in psychology, and then I got my master's in clinical social work. And so that's what brought me into the field. Your other question was how
– What separates you,
repeat your other question?
What separates you as a clinical social work from psychologist and from a psychiatrist?
Okay. So a psychiatrist is someone that would pretty much do like your medication, right? So they're the ones that prescribe you whatever type of medication that you need when it comes down to your mental health. Psychologist, they do therapy as well, but they also, they're more testing. They do a lot of testing and to help, you know, with diagnosis. I diagnose as well, but I don't do any type of testing. And they deal with a lot of research as well. Social workers, we're trained all across the board. So I'm trained to work with children, families, couples. I can go into any field dealing with, you know, I don't know what you guys call it there, but we call it DFS here. But child social services. So it's just a very broad field to be in. So that's the difference between the three disciplines that you're talking about. Psychiatrist is more medication, they prescribe. Psychologists, they do therapy as well, but they also do testing and do a lot of research type work. And then clinical social workers, we're out there, we're in the community, we're working with the family, we're meeting the clients where they are. For change agents, and we also do therapy as well.
Very good, very good. One other question, real quick: how do you separate? Do you take those problems home? Because I know when you're dealing with clients or patients, as you may probably call them, do you take those problems home with you?
Yes. It's very hard not to be honest with you. When I first got into the field, my population was children only. So that was very hard because I'm a mother.
Yes.
I'm a mother of two boys, and to see some of the things that our kids are dealing with, I could not understand, you know. So it was very hard to not take it home, and at times I do still take it home, but I know how to disconnect when I need to disconnect. It took some time, but that's why it's so important to have a good team around you. Where I work at, I have an awesome team of women, black women. You know, most of our practice are African Americans, and I'm so proud of that. But I have a great team where I can go to, you know, either my Lisa, who is the owner of the practice, to another therapist, and sit down and say, hey, let's talk about this case, because we have to release that somewhere before we go home, you know. So we learn, we have talks amongst ourselves to kind of release some of the stuff before we take it home. And, you know, get a hobby. I like working out. I like working out. I do yoga, so that all helps me.
Yeah, I have a client who's a psychiatrist. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, one of the things I'm saying, one of my clients is a psychiatrist, and what she does, she and her husband, he's a dentist, what they do every quarter, they take a trip for a week, just go somewhere and just, you know, kind of blow off their steam or just relax. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can mm-hmm. be on overload also, because I work as a financial advisor, and my clients have a tendency to just tell me everything. I mean, just everything. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I'm on overload, but I have a tendency,
yeah.
I travel a lot. So, yeah. Okay. Thank you for your good answers.
Thank you. Thank you for the question.
Ms. Marriott, I wanted to confirm something because I wasn't sure if I heard you correctly. The young lady you were mentoring, did you say that she was being sexually abused by her mother? This is a female,
yes,
being abused by her mother?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
That's unbelievable. I have a number
yeah.
I'm not familiar with, and I want to give everybody an opportunity to get on. So I'm going to say the last four digits of your number. If you would like to speak, I have opened the line for 0977. Would you like to make a comment? Give me your name and where you're calling from. 0977. Okay, maybe they just want to listen today. That's fine. Okay, let me go back to Dee. I'm going to come back to you.
Thank you, James. Councilor Marriott, we do appreciate your expertise. Here on this show, we intake a lot of news issues, and we have been perplexed throughout the year about certain entities that has happened in the news, one of which there was a situation where a middle-aged man was in a relationship with a woman, and the woman decided to cut ties on the relationship. The man went berserk and went on a killing spree. My question is, when a woman or a man is in a relationship like that, and they have some observation that the person may have tendencies to be violent if the person in question choose to end the relationship, is it their responsibility, or do they own any responsibility to try to let them down easy, or should they be noted that the person, the violent person, may have a tendency to be where they don't want to end a relationship in the first place, and then just use them to reel them back in. It's complicated. So, but do they have a obligation to try to let them down easy, or just go ahead and end the relationship and let the chips fall where they may?
Well, it sounds like we're talking about somebody that's unstable. So regardless if you let them down easy or not, they don't want to be let down, period, right? So, you know, it for a person to, again, there had to be signs that this person was not mentally stable, so or emotionally stable. So if this person was let down, or, you know, person said, I don't want to be with you anymore, and they go on to a killing spree, that just doesn't happen without other stuff happening prior to. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I understand that people do snap, but this person has had to show some type of mental illness prior to. Rather, it was a streak of violence, you know, very controlling behavior. So regardless of how you let a person down, no means no. So if the person feels rejected, they're going to act out, and it sounds like this what this person did. So the obligation is to say, well, you know what, if I know that someone may be suffering with some type of mental illness and I feel like my life could be in danger – if I break up with this person, no, I'm not going to tell you to stay in a relationship, but I will tell you to seek help. You know, notify the authorities. If you know this person could possibly harm you or have shown signs that they could or they're violent, your obligation to yourself, not to the person, but your obligation to yourself is to make sure that you reach out to get some type of help, you know. Does that make sense a little bit?
Oh, yes, definitely, definitely. We just had mm-hmm. we had discussions about that here on this show about three times in the past 3 months, and it's a joy to have you on the show to help clear that up for us. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Miss Mary, it just he is so right. We have to find a way to deal with our children. I try to talk about how do we go all the way back to our kids and help them to understand that there is no ownership in relationships. And see, when I spent 10 years at the jail trying to help inmates get their GED, and I used to tell them young men that the young lady is only on loan to you. And when she wants to cancel that loan, it's canceled, but a lot mm-hmm. of them think they have ownership, and that somehow or another they are the ones that determine when the relationship is over, and she doesn't have that option.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to go back. We need to go back to our kids and help them understand the dynamics of relationships, so that they don't get caught up. Because you have a lot of decent young men who don't understand the dynamics, and they end up in jail.
Right. Right, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. You know, we have to be able to start. We would like for it to start at home. Yeah, we have homes where, you know, fathers are not there, you know, moms are not there, you know. So who are going to teach these kids? Who are going to teach them how to be a man? So if you are a man, and regardless if you have your own children, if you see that there's a child that is fatherless and that needs that help, reach out to that child. Be a mentor to them. That is your obligation. It is your obligation. Don't just let someone just go by the wayside when you can actually help them out, you know. So we do mentorship. Like I said, I got into this field by mentoring someone, you know, and it was the best decision I ever could have made. So I do encourage people, you know, even with our girls, we have young ladies out here that think it's okay to be a thot. It's okay to, you know, do all the crazy dances that they see on the videos, or watching, you know, the things that's happening on reality TV. That's not what being a young lady is about. But we close our eyes and we choose to ignore it. But you have to understand, these kids are growing up and they're going to be our leaders. They're going to be the ones that, you know, we're going to have to put, as we're, you know, aging, they're going to be the ones that are in charge. So why not just take them under your wing and teach them? and show them what it's like to be a young man. Show them how to tie a tie. Show them what it's like to be a young lady. It's our obligation and it's our duty to do that.
All right. We're going to go to another break, and we're going to come back and continue our conversation. Again, Ms. Marriott, will you give them your how to reach you?
Yes. You can follow me on Instagram at rebirth_radio. My website is rebirthu.com, or you can follow me on Facebook at rebirthu.
All right, we'll be back to continue our conversation.
I am this woman. I am this woman that has sent the expectations of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman that does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but create my own destination. I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness. My own desire of sexiness and allure. I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those yet to dream to greatness. I am the mother of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth, igniting the love that exists in all men while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman. I am this woman that ascends the expectation of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman who does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but creates my own destination.
I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure.
I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those to dream.
I am the woman of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth.
Igniting the love that exists in all men while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman.
This is James P. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Audrey, any other comments or questions? Are you there, Audrey?
Yes, I would like to get a little insight, if you could, as it relates to relationships for our society or of our black people, if you would. It was mentioned earlier on this show, we talk a lot of times about political issues that's going up, and some of the things that we've mentioned is really the lack of black leadership. And I could hear the excitement of when you express your colleagues being of African-American descent and the fact that more men are coming through, and that's great. But how do we go as a community, as a society, of helping support each other? So many times we see a brother or sister that's doing well, and instead of supporting them, you know, we find something's wrong. We've talked about the amount of time a dollar stays in the black community. I think it's like 30 minutes or something, compared to our Asian counterparts of 32 days. So is there anything you can help us with that relationship?
Yes, thank you for that question. Yes, I agree with that. We are not the most supportive community that we can be. And I'm still trying to understand myself where that is coming from and why. But what I can say is, if we learn to work together and support each other and mentor each other, we will be so powerful. We will be so powerful. The practice that I work at, and I keep bringing this up because it's a perfect example. It was started only with herself and then another young lady. And we go into schools and we do therapy with the children as well as we see patients in our office. Currently, we are probably in over 50 schools when initially we only started out in less than 3 schools. And the practice has grown so much where now it went from 2 to having at least about 16, 17 other therapists. Majority of them are African American. So why am I bringing this up? Because this was a woman that actually took other therapists, other black therapists underneath her wing and said, I'm going to show you the ropes. I'm going to tell you how to be the best that you can be. I'm going to show you what you need to do, not only as a therapist and being a good therapist, but also as a business person, how to bring in your own business. what is that taking from her? It's not taking anything from her. So the mentality of, because if I tell you something, that now I'm going to lose what I have, that has to end. If I'm going to share something with you, I have to believe that because I'm being a blessing to you, that I'm going to be blessed in return. But that's not the mentality that we have. We want to hold on, and we want to, you know, keep things to ourselves and not really share and uplift each other. And when someone is doing well, we have to find something about that person to discredit them. Why? Why are we doing that? Honestly, I'm still trying to find the answer to that. But how do we move past that? I think, again, just like I said earlier about taking ownership in your own, in your relationships, you have to take ownership in your own lives. You know, reflect. Sit down with yourself. If you're a person that is doing these things to other people, have a seat and reflect on, why do I have these behaviors? Why do I find it hard to support my fellow sister or my fellow brother? And really get to the root of it. And then take ownership of it and then get help for it. Because really there's no reason to do it. And like you said, you know, it brings our community down. We're not supporting our black-owned businesses. We're not going out to the events. And then when we do go out to the events, we find something to talk about that will discredit the event. So you're right. We do have to. We have to come together. We have to come together as a family, you know, as a culture in general, and we have to do better.
All right, Kathy, I'm coming to you. Any questions or comments you'd like to make?
Wow, I'm just saying wow. Wow, wow. I really appreciate the way that you defined the psychologist and the psychiatrist. That was really a great insight for me, I'm sure, as well as it was for others that are listening. And again, all I can say is, wow, I am pulling you up on Facebook right now so that I can get more information and connect with you even more, because I actually love, love, love what you do. That's what I'm actually trying to do. So you will be seeing some inbox messages from me asking you for some advice and which way. You and everything that you actually share with us today. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Cheryl, any comments or questions?
Right now, I'm just really enjoying the information that's going forth. I can't think of anything. She seems to be covering a lot of areas, but nothing that I can come to my mind just right off that, you know, I want to comment or ask a question about. But I just want to continue.
Well, I'm in hopes that we can encourage Ms. Marriott to be a part of our show at least once a month. So now you all be good to her so we can get her to come back. Ms. Marriott, I do want to ask you, we discuss a lot here about hip-hop and the effect that it has on our youth. And one of the things that amazes me is that the abuse hip-hop seems to inflict on women, but yet women support them. Why are our girls so in awe of these men when they seem to be so disrespectful to them?
Hmm. It's a very good question. So what's happening is it's become part of their culture. It's on TV. It's everywhere. So what happens is we tend to, well, not we, but most people tend to normalize it. You know, so when you start hearing people being called bees and, you know, holes and stuff like that, and now the new word is stop, it was uncomfortable, but then when you hear it long enough, then you start singing, you're singing a song. You're calling yourself that. You're dancing to it. So you tend to normalize it and you tend to embrace it. There's more negative stuff out there than it is positive. We're not looking at the positive role models, the positive shows, the positive music, the music that's going to encourage you and empower you. We're looking at the stuff that, you know, like you're saying, is, you know, going to give you these labels. And how do we get out of it when it's everywhere? You know, it's simply making a choice. Now, if you're a parent, you do have control over it. You know, when it comes, the child is in your home, you have control over that. You can make the decision to say, hey, you're not going to watch this in the house. You're not going to listen to this. Now, when the child goes outside of the home and they're in school, you have to hope and pray that what you teach them, they're going to remember and it's instilled in them. You know, so if peer pressure is an issue or someone is telling them, you know, let's do this, let's do that, they're able to say, no, you know, I'm not about that. But that's the hopes of it. But, it all starts in the home. We can't shield our kids from what's happening. It's everywhere. So you can't shield them from what's happening. But you can prepare them. You can prepare them how to react, how to respond when certain situations are brought to them. That's important.
All right, we're going to take a short break, and we want everybody to prepare themselves for their final word. And we're going to come back and let everyone have their final word for this evening.
Just a Thought by James T. Deshaies. There is never a perfect time to step out on faith. It would always require risking the safety of where you are at that very moment. But one will never be completely happy when their dreams are not being reached. The higher the dreams, the greater the risk. When the right opportunity makes itself available, you have to close your ears to the naysayers and move forward beyond your dreams. Visit wealthdaddysystem.com. That's www.wealthdaddysystem.com. Wealthdaddysystem.com. Push yourself beyond your fears, and you'll reach your dreams.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. Deshaies is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and Passion, Desire, and Contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. Deshaies has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. You will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. Deshaies. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at jamestdeshaies2.com and lulu.com. Feel free to reach out to the author at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com.
Audrey, what is your final thought for this evening?
Well, again, thank you. Okay. Thank you to Mrs. Marriott, and may you continue to be blessed in your efforts of helping all of us to communicate better. And it sounded it was several key things that you found that you mentioned at, in some form or another, the importance of having a Christ-based belief, the importance of communication and taking that to a deeper level, and then, of course, the cash as it relates to your financial, you know, goals and those type of things. So thank you for helping us with our personal relationships, our relationships as individuals, and then the goal as a community to come together. So continue to be blessed, and thank you.
Thank you so much.
Dee, your final thought for this evening?
Yes, sir. Ms. Marriott, I promise to be brief, but I got to put you on the spot for a minute before you go because we are so blessed to have you. what advice would you give us older persons that's actually from an older generation about how to deal with the current administrations here in the United States, the current presidential administration? We the older person feel betrayed by the country.
Yes.
And we feel betrayed by the persons that put him in office. So what advice could you give us so we can maybe further seek some comfort in this situation?
Okay. Well, what I would say is I would ask myself, you know, what am I in control of? And am I in control of this situation? And the answer is no, you're not. You're not in control of it. Are there things that you can do that could possibly, you know, make change or implement change? Yes. So those things that you can do, do. But the things that you're not in control of, and this goes for anything. The things that you're not in control of, you have to learn to say, you know what? I can't worry about something that I'm not in control of. I have to let it go, and I have to let God. But the things that I am in control of, then I'm going to do what I need to do to implement that change. That is where you start to make the difference. And it may be something very small, but can grow into something very large. So I will look at it from that perspective. I mean, we have a lot of people that are hurting, based, you know, over this administration, and I see it all the time. I have my coworker, she's one on the social media that is constantly hammering about what's happening in the country, you know. So if you can be a change agent, then do that. But the things that you don't have control over, you have to pretty much just, you know, let go. I don't know what your belief is, but let go and let God and just pray for our country. And you can't internalize it because that's going to make you.
Again, Ms. Marriott, I really appreciate you being here today. Very, very, very good information. And I realize that we all at some point need to be able to talk to someone and not thinking that a psychiatrist, just like you said, is just for someone that's mentally ill, but also to be able to, in a way, to help us to bring our lives to another level. And, you know, because sometimes we may be stuck and spend too much time thinking about things when we can really get to the next level. And when we have that sounding board, it can help us in our lives in so many different areas. And it's for the young as well as the old. So, again, I appreciate you being here and very good information that you gave us today. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Mr. Tillis, your final thought for this evening?
Yes. First of all, thank you, Mrs. Marriott. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your compassion. And thank you for your commitment. You brought up something real, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but you brought something up about, I wonder why we don't do business with each other. I'm just going to say one thing. You can go check out Willie Lynch. Lynch is L-Y-N-C-H. L-Y-N-C-H. Mm-hmm. Go to Willie Lynch Letter on Internet. And there you will find out why we don't do business with each other. You know, long time ago, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but a long time ago, the slave masters got together and made some decisions. First of all, they taught us not to trust each other. They taught us to compare the field Negro to the house Negro, the old against the young, the short against the tall, the light skin against the dark skin, and on and on and on, the fat against the skinny. And they said that if every opportunity you got, you pitted them against each other, that plan would last over 400 years. And I think about when I was working with Merrill Lynch, those people used to say, well, you're not like them. You're not like them. You're not like the rest of the black people. But what they were doing, just pitting me against my people. And I was believing that at one time. I was believing I was better. Right. So I just want to, you know, take a look at that because that's serious. And we got to come together at some point. We have enough money where we shouldn't be having these kind of problems. Also, I'm going to look you up because I want to call you about my grandson. I have a grandson that's 4 years old, and I'm not around him. And so my daughter was telling me about a couple of weeks ago that she was afraid of him. He bit on the breast. He's throwing things at her. And, you know, like she's afraid of him. He's 4 years old. He turns 5 next month. And so, but when I'm around him, I don't have those kind of problems. But she's literally afraid. And then sometimes he runs off, get lost or whatever. Anyway, I'll find a way to get in contact with you and talk to you about. Okay. But anyway, thank you for your time. I really really appreciate it. This was a really good meeting, not necessarily a meeting, but a really good show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Ms. Marriott, what are your final thoughts? What do you want to leave our audience with this evening?
Okay, well, first I would like to say it has been a pleasure. Thank you for having me. I absolutely enjoyed myself. I know in the beginning of the show we kind of start talking about just kind of rebuilding your life. So we don't have much time, but I'm going to leave you with 12 steps on how to rebuild your life, and I'm going to go through them really quick. The first one is make a commitment to yourself. Stop committing to others. Make a commitment to yourself. The second, forgive, release, and let go of past hurts and resentment. The third, embrace with grace all that you face. The next one is visualize your achievements and create your destiny. Number 5, dreams won't work unless you do. 6, take one step at a time. Be patient with yourself. It's a process. 7, begin to develop a deep trust in life. Faith is so important. Number 8, give yourself permission to fail. In every mistake that we make, there is a lesson to be learned. Make sure you pay attention to that lesson. Number 9, be good to yourself. Exercise, eat good. Try to be healthy, meditate. Number 10, give up living your life to other people's expectations. 11, discipline your mind to stay present in the now. I encourage everybody to look up mindfulness. Understand what mindfulness is and start practicing it. It helps you live in the now. And last, surround yourself with loving and supportive people. If you can take these steps, no matter what you're faced with, no matter what's going on in your life, you will be able to rebuild every birth in you. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate you all.
All right, please consider coming back. We're at the end of the hour, and I just want to thank you all for all your support, and we'll see you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time.
Just a Thought
by
James T. DeShay. There is never a perfect time to step out on faith. It would always require risking the safety of where you are at that very moment. But one will never be completely happy when their dreams are not being reached. The higher the dreams, the greater the risk. When the right opportunity makes itself available, you have to close your ears to the naysayers and move forward beyond your dreams. Visit WealthDaddySystem.com. That's WWWEALTHDADSYSTEM.com. WealthDaddySystem.com. Push yourself beyond your fears, and you'll reach your dreams.